His name is Jesus. It's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. When he led me this way, opened my blinded eyes. Oh, by the way, tonight about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, August 1975, junkie, cracky, whatever I was, dope dealer, I found myself flat on my back, speaking in another tongue. His name is Jesus. Most thrilling thing that ever happened to me. I've been high, awful high. But nothing like what Jesus did to me that night. Showed me a better way. Turned me on to a new product. I'm thrilled. I emptied out my pockets. It's still thrilling today to know that he reached down and touched my life. For this birthday, I don't sing happy birthday. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad he laid his hands on me. I'm glad he said, this is enough. You are under arrest. I came to church one Sunday And I felt like I had on spiritual handcuffs. I mean, God had his hand on me. But I don't regret it. His name is Jesus. Something thrilling about him. Listen, when I first received this wonderful gift, didn't Brother Smith do a good job Wednesday night telling us about our free gift? I appreciate my gift. I appreciate salvation today. It's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. It hadn't gotten old. I don't have to trade it off for something else. I found the best thing. His name is Jesus. Touched my life one day. I came from a broken home. No background, no church affiliated with or anything. But God saw I needed something one day. He brought me to the greatest courthouse. Brought me to his courtroom. And I'm thrilled about it today. His name is Jesus. No other name, Paul said, under heaven, whereby men might be saved, other than the name of Jesus. That mighty name of Jesus. I appreciate the Lord today and his mighty, wonderful name. Psalms 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I appreciate the name of Jesus tonight, you know. I had an experience just a couple of days ago. I was sitting out in my yard. Some young men about 19, 20 years old come by, seen an old man sitting out in the yard with his Kool-Aid and a snack. Sir, do you know Jesus? What? Old coon like me, you ask me, do I know Jesus? Maybe an hour or two went by. When I got through telling them about the Holy Ghost and my experience in God, they were saying, wow. Can we come back again? I loaded them up. Now, did you want to say something about Joseph Smith? Because I sure told you a lot about Jesus. I loaded them up. Yeah. But I had something in my heart that I wanted to share with them. Someone shared with me one day. Had me crying, telling me about Jesus. Fed my soul. I appreciate the name of God tonight. I appreciate this salvation tonight. I appreciate my wonderful gift. Hey, listen, this was supposed to have been just a one-time deal for me, and I've made it a lifetime deal. I signed up for life. I did. I told my wife, I said, listen, we're going to come just to see if God is dealing with me, and we're leaving because I've got to watch the NBA playoffs. I already had my schedule, my menu laid out. I had my dope on the table in my living room, and I was going home after this service. And I found myself back here. Found myself asking God, can you help me? Can you show me a better way? I appreciate the Lord today. His name is Jesus. I share this experience with you. God was dealing with my life, and I was running, doing everything I wanted to do. And I enrolled in school over at Shorter College. And my first class was religion. I didn't know about that. I went in, and I did what I needed to do. It was all textbook. We took tests and exams and had discussions. Wasn't nothing like church, you know. I didn't want nobody touching me. I didn't want nobody praying for me or nothing. I wasn't like that. And one evening I went to school, and the teacher said, all right, students, sit down. I've got something to take care of and some papers to score. But in the meantime, I'm going to have someone pass out something I want you to look at. So she had some young man to pass the papers out. And on these papers was a picture of an old house with the windows blown out of it. Old rusty lawnmower sitting around. Wagon turned over, old wheelbarrow. Just hadn't been maintained at all. That's all I seen. So she got through testing the papers and scoring them. She's been to call on people. And I know I got high before I went into class. And here we go. You know, the closer it came to my rope, I began to hold on to the top of my desk. And I didn't know what was going on. I began to feel funny. I began to feel like I need to get out of here. I began to feel nervy and edgy. Began to start breathing heavy. And different ones was telling our instructor what they saw in the picture. And it was getting close to my turn. And there was a gentleman sitting in front of me that was taking this class that he just happened to be a Methodist minister. And she called him by name, Reverend Brown. Would you mind sharing with us what you see in this picture? And this man began to talk. And his talk was different from everyone else's. All they seen was an old abandoned house. But he saw it too, but he said, this house is a picture of some people's lives. And the more he began to talk about what condition a soul can get into, I wanted to tell him, man, if you don't shut up. God was dealing with me. He continued to talk. You know, I was saved by the bell. The bell rung and she said, class over with. But I tell you what, it affected me so bad, Brother Staples. I quit school. I didn't want to have nothing to do with God. But he caught me one day and arrested me. His name was Jesus today. His name was Jesus. I sought out a lot of things. I had a cousin that grabbed me on the street and said, look here, cuz, show you about the true God. He's a Muslim. What? Come on, bro. He was going to hook me up. I was going to the temple, the mosque. I wanted to be a Muslim, Brother Darren. God got me out of that. Posted my bail. Said, I don't want you in here. But he didn't tell me what he had for me later on. But here I am. Today, August 24th, 1975, I became a new creature. A new man in Christ Jesus. Yes, I appreciate my gift today. Hey, listen, I got up to take prayer requests and also our visitors. Man, we're glad to see you today. We're happy to see you. Brother and Sister Stafe is here with us. Sister Beverly, good to see you again. And we have a couple in the back. I think this is your first time, isn't it? Maybe. Okay. And Sister Chelsea, Brother Phil Fisher, they brought our little sister home, didn't they? Yeah, this is her beginning. So we're glad for that today. All right. And Sister LaFane and Leo. Okay, all right. Hey, listen, we're glad to have you out today, okay? And I'd like for you to come again. It takes more than one time to check us out, but you're always welcome here. Anyone else I'm missing today? All right, let's take prayer requests. We have many needs among us today. Let's remember Brother and Sister Crow. Let's remember Brother Smith. He's out of town today. Anyone else have a request or a special need, Sister Bell? Okay. All right, let's remember that request. Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, everyone hear that? Brother Paul Thompson is working on our unit out here. Pray that God will touch him. Brother Paul McGowan kind of overheated yesterday doing some work and really needs a touch from God. And she's still praying about her job. Let's keep praying. You know, prayer does change things. A lot of us are here today because of the power of prayer. You know that? prayer brought us here. Prayer brought me here. I didn't like it to begin with, but when I know the ending results, I'm glad you prayed for me. This church was praying for me. Oh, man, your prayers are powerful. So if you've got a loved one today, someone that seems just hopeless, keep them on the prayer list. I get up 2 o'clock in the morning, go outside and sit in a lawn chair and pray for my family, my children. Pray that they'll know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob like I did. Pray as Job said, acquaint thyself with him. You know, we got to get acquainted with God. That's what I was telling those little Mormon brothers. Hey, yes, I'm acquainted with him. Now tell me your testimony. Tell me what he did to you or what he's doing for you. All right, let's keep praying today. Sister Linda. Sister Anna De La Rosa. I believe Sister Thompson. Did you have your hand up? Sister Ann Thompson. Okay. And even thought about my own self when Sister Beverly was talking. Tuesday morning, I'm going in for some tests also, extensive testing. I'll share this testimony with you. I was supposed to have it 2 weeks ago, church. And I kept reading my instructions, and I was going to keep up with them. I was going to really do it. I didn't like it because it consisted of fasting. I was supposed to start on a Tuesday morning with all liquids, chicken broth. I couldn't even take a chicken bone and shake in it. Enhance it, you know. No bread, no nothing. And then 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was supposed to take a little 16-ounce bottle of something, nitrate, or I don't know. And I just had that in my mind, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I processed it away from home. What did my instructions say? Because I'm on my way to Captain D's now and get me some fish. But I had 3 o'clock, and it was almost 2:15, and I was going to squeeze in and out. But something led me to just come home and look at my instructions again, and when I looked at it and said, the morning before your surgery, you're to have liquid diet, Jell-O. I'd already got up and had post-toasties early that morning, watermelon. And folks, I missed it. I missed it. So I get on the phone and I'm calling up to the VA. And the floor I needed, fourth floor for what's the name? Urology clinic. Say, man. And they took a message, and their office closes at 4. So I drove up there, went through the park, through by the Red Cross, and went in the back way to VA and went upstairs and told my doctor, man, you're going to kill me. What happened? I said, I don't know how I processed that I could start fasting at 3 in the afternoon. I said, I've already got up early this morning, had cereal, watermelon, and they said, man, we can't take pictures. We won't be able to see nothing through all that heavy load you had. Did you go to McDonald's? I said, no, but I had something else on my mind. So they said, we're going to schedule you for the 26th. So pray for me that I don't forget. Fasting just isn't. But I'm going to do it. And then after midnight, I can't have nothing. Anyway, enough for my testimony and my big mess up. Someone else, sister. Whoever wants to be first. Right, sister. Okay. Okay. All right. Anyone else have a special need today? Brother Keith? Some unspoken? I'm sure we all do. Let's stand then. The ushers will come forward and going to receive an offering. How about Jesus today? He said, cast all your burdens on me because I care for you. What a loving Savior we have today. What a wonderful Father we have today. He cares about all of our needs. Oh, yes, for the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those that are committed to him and love him today. Oh, we're glad for the name of Jesus and the power that's in it today, the power to heal, the power to save today, the power to protect his people. Oh, yes, he's a wonderful, loving Savior today. We ask God's blessing upon this church, upon the people that have been. Call their names, Jesus. Call ourselves the people of God today. We love him today. We appreciate his healing power for brother and sister Crow today. Faithful members of this church need a touch from heaven today. For brother Smith, while he's away and out of town. Pray God's protecting hand will always be with our pastor. Oh, yes. Brother Paul McGowan needing a touch from God today. Sister Holly Loriana is praying about a job. Brother Paul Thompson, men outside working. May God help them and keep them today. Most of all, we love God today. Appreciate his words. Appreciate his ministry today. We love that wonderful name of Jesus today. He's the captain of our salvation today. May God bless our service today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
No. Let's go. Praise God. I'm glad he laid his hand on me. I'm glad he took the time to look my way. My Lord, where would I be without Jesus? I would be. I'd be that rundown house and doors off the hinges and broken windows and there's a song. It'll come to me here in a little bit. Maybe I'll sing it later. Something I'd be like a vessel without a sail, ship without an anchor. That's how I'd be, right? Thank you. I'd be lost, as we all would. And you're here today because the Lord has interest in you. He's made an investment in your life. And he wants to make something of us. He has a desire to change us, to shape us from just a vessel of clay to a vessel of honor. I like that poem y'all are familiar with, the poem of the Potter's Wheel. Sister Weiniger reads that on occasion. And maybe she'll do that here soon. He's wanting to shape us from a broken vessel into a vessel of honor. And you know, the Gentile people, which is what you and I are, we were a people that were without God and no hope. You know, there's a lot of people today living in a hopeless situation. They don't know God. They don't know who He is. They don't know the benefits that He provides for them. Or they've turned their back on Him and they won't humble themselves and acknowledge His authority in their life. And they try to do everything on their own strength. They try to do everything under their own power, their own might. But we know it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And Brother Daniels, you talk about you became a new creature. You're born again. And Jesus told His disciples, He said, you must be born again. He told Nicodemus. Nicodemus said to Him, he said, must I enter into my mother's womb again? And he said, no. He said, you must be born of the water, the fire, and the Spirit. And it's not about becoming, you know, an infant like the fishers have been blessed with, a new baby, a girl. It's not about, you know, us physically being changed into a child. It's about us becoming a new child, a new creature in Christ. And He's wanting to change us from the old to the new. He's wanting to change us from following after our own pathway, our own understanding, to following after His. You know, even Jesus had to battle with His own will. He struggled recognizing that His will to live, His will to pursue His own path was contrary to the will of His Father. The Bible says that He prayed three times. He said, not my will. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The pressure was so great. The burden was so heavy that He was carrying. The load was just upon him so great, the Bible says, that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. My Lord, there was no letting up, was there? There was no easing that burden that he was carrying. There was no relenting of the pressure that he was under. And I'm going to tell you, from my vantage point, there is no quit. When God gets his hand and gets a hold of your life and his hand is upon your life, there is no quit. There is no end to the calling of the Lord. He's called us, and there's no denying it. There's no turning back from it. And just like Jesus prayed, he said, "Not my will, but thy be." He finally said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And he submitted his life, as you know, and was crucified, hung on a cross for the sacrifice of the sins of the world. And he bore that burden. And yielded himself as a willing vessel. And we are to do the same. We're to become born again. We're to become a new creature in Christ, humbled and submitted to the will of God in our lives. And you know, it takes faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. It takes faith. It takes the exercise of faith by each and every one of us individually. I can't do it for you. Now, you know, my children, I can influence them to where I have authority over them. They don't, you know, they don't recognize that some of the decisions that they have can be made on their own. Particularly as, you know, the older they get, they will. The more mature that they become, they'll make their own decisions. And I respect that. I want them to. I want them to have faith on their own. As children, they share in my faith. I tell them that you know, the Lord is going to provide, and they're in agreement with me. You know, they don't have a whole lot of choice. But the older they get, the more determined they become to chart their, you know, to take responsibility for their own lives, they'll have to exercise their own faith. Just like you and I do. And to please the Lord, we have to believe that God will provide all of our needs. We have to rest in His covering. We have to trust that whatsoever is His will for our lives is right. And then we have to act upon it. And the faith that we share, the faith that we have in God is the same exercise of faith that man has been exercising since day one. Adam, even Adam himself, in my estimation, had faith in God. It's evident to me that he had everything provided for him. There's no doubt in my mind that, you know, he had plenty of food to eat. He had, you know, a cool breeze. He had whatever was required for him to be sustained. There's no doubt in my mind that he had all that available to him, but he still had to have faith that God's will was more important than his. And, of course, we know history tells us, the Bible tells us that Adam didn't exercise his faith, did he? He took matters into his own hands. He had more confidence in his own will, his own actions, and he didn't obey what God had told him to do. He didn't humble himself and have faith that what God said would be right. He took things into his own control, and he had faith in his own strength. And, of course, the Bible tells us not to do that in Proverbs 3. We're not to lean on our own understanding. But Adam did, and men and women have been doing it ever since. Leaning on their own understanding. I'll do it. But there'll come a day when I'll quit. At some point, there's going to come a day when I'll rest in God. I won't lean on my own understanding anymore, Brother Daniels. I won't rely on those props that I've used in my life. I won't rely on the addictions. I won't rely on the thoughts. I won't rely on my own physical strength. I won't rely on my own personal wisdom. I won't rely on the things that I've used all these years to sustain myself. At some point in my life, I'll just put my life and my hands in God's hands and I'll say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me, use me, use me as you will. I'm yours. Whatsoever you'd have for me, Lord, that's what I want. I'm looking forward to that day, I think. Well, you know, I'm just being honest here. I know it's coming. That's the key right there, Brother Daniels, is I know that day is coming. I might as well get ready for it, right? I like what Brother Smith said Wednesday night about how that God would hold back the winds, and if he'll hold back the winds then, what's he going to do for us today? My Lord. Woo! We serve a mighty God, don't we? We serve a loving God. Believe it today. He loves you today. He brought you here for a reason today. Praise God. He's invested something in your life. And he has gifts for you. Wisdom and knowledge, understanding, the Spirit of God, friends and family, blessings that you can't even begin to imagine. What is it said? Eye hath not seen, neither has ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. My Lord, praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Men have exercised faith from the beginning in God. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for the examples that we've had that have gone before us, whether it was grandma or grandpa, mom or dad, a friend, brother or sister, co-worker. Aren't you thankful for the men and women of God that have laid their lives down and said, you know what, let the world pass me by, I'm serving the Lord. I am. I'm so glad for the teachers, the preachers, the singers, the testifiers. I'm so glad for the witnesses, the examples, the people that I met growing up as a child, the people that laid out an example before me, the people that gave their life to the Lord and lived it as an example before me and others. I'm so glad, thank God, that I had those witnesses in my life. I'm so glad that I saw something in them that inspired me, praise God, to turn my life to the Lord and trust him in everything. Hallelujah. Never forget, you know, just even when one of the most revealing moments to me was when, I've shared this before, when I first time I went to work and left my newborn child at home. And I'd been with her since she was born. I'd been with her in the delivery room. I'd been with her and my wife in the hospital. And been with them when we brought her home and changed her diaper and fed her. And I was with them, you know, all for, you know, however much time I had off, 5 or 6 days or however long it was. And then it came time for me to go to work. Put that car in reverse and began to back out of the driveway. And thought, Lord, who's going to watch over them while I'm gone? Who's going to man, you know, who's going to be the sentry and protect them? What if she chokes? What if she gets a fever? What if my wife's not feeling good? Who's going to take care of all that? Lord, I'm putting them in your hands. I'm trusting you, Lord. That was a revelation to me. Something so valuable and precious and such a great treasure to me. My only recourse. My only recourse was to put my family in God's hands. But I'm going to tell you, there isn't anybody's hands I'd trust more. You know what I mean? I thought I trusted mine, but I've learned through the years, through car wrecks and sickness, disagreements and so forth, I've learned through the years that I can trust God more than I can trust even my own strength. Men have been doing it for years. Women have been doing it for years. Little children get sick. You know, we live in a medical age, but you go back 150 years, 200 years in this country, we didn't have hospitals like we do today. You know, there might have been one doctor in the county who might have been a two-day ride out. You know, you had midwives and you had, you know, old remedies that people relied upon. People have been trusting God for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. They've been having faith that God would supply their needs. You know, we've read the stories. If you haven't, I encourage you to, about the old Pentecostal preachers that would walk in, and Methodist preachers that would walk into, and Baptist preachers that would walk into homes that were sick, where the influenza, the flu bug was so prevalent that people were dying. Pneumonia was taking people, and they'd walk in. They just trusted God. They'd walk right in those homes and they'd lay their hands on those people and begin to pray for them. They just trusted God. We see stories about men and women in the battlefield, and you know, you got soldiers out there, and we've heard people give testimony that their only trust was in the Lord. They, you know, bullets zinging by their head, and they're trusting that God's going to get them out of that situation, or sitting in some hospital tent somewhere out in the middle of a battlefield and bombshells going off around, and you got people doing their job, nursing and caring and providing for those that are sick or in need, and they're putting their trust in God. They're trusting that God's going to protect them. We're no different than that, saints. We have things, our life is more peaceful. Our world that we live in is more peaceful. We don't have, you know, we don't have the turmoil that goes with war. Here on the streets of Little Rock, we don't have sickness that goes with, that you might find in other countries due to malnutrition or unclean, you know, unsanitary situations. We don't have those things. We may go hungry a little bit. Not Brother Daniels. We understand he don't. No, we don't even go hungry very often, do we? We don't have a lot of things that cause us to feel, you know, the want and need of our life. Now, you know, we might want a new car or a new house or a new phone or new this or that. But we don't have a lot of life's necessities that we need. But I'm telling you what, we still need to have our faith in the Lord. He still has taken the time to invest in our lives. He still slowed down time long enough. He still slowed down His plan long enough. He still held back the trouble long enough that you and I could sit here in this house today peacefully and worship God and hear the good songs, the good victorious songs about how great the Lord is. He still slowed down things long enough. He held all that back long enough that you and I could sit here in this congregation and peacefully raise our hands, praise God, and give Him praise. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory. He has for years. He has for years. I was thinking today about the children of Israel. I woke up this morning with a song on my mind. The battle is the Lord's, it's not mine. Old chorus. The battle is the Lord's, it's not mine. He fed the multitudes, turned the water into wine. I think that's how it goes. The battle is the Lord's. It's not mine. It's His. It's His battle. It's His cause. that I'm marching under. It's His banner that I'm marching under. He is the general. He's leading the charge, praise God. I need to have faith in Him. I need to put my faith in Him. I need to trust Him. Thank God that He knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. I'm marching under His banner today. Thank the Lord. Of course, the banner of the Lord is love. It is love. He loves His people. It's our charge. Brother Smith, I think, mentioned that in Bible study last weekend. It's our charge to put on charity. It's not enough to just tolerate each other. It's our charge to love each other in spite of our differences, because they exist. There's no denying that. You know, anybody can have a fight. Some people lose them, some people win them, but anybody can fight. It takes a special people to love. It takes a special group of people to love and trust and work together. But over here in Exodus, the 14th chapter, the children of Israel were on the run. They were on the run. They had been prisoners in Egypt. They had been abused. They had been tortured. They had had their children killed. They had been taken as slaves. They had been made to work like animals. They had endured. There was all kinds of pestilence. The waters turned to blood. There's locusts, swarms of locusts in Egypt. Finally, God sent a man named Moses. Moses had been through it himself personally. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. God took all that away from him. He went and lived in the desert as a sheep herder. Found contentment in that. God took that away from him. Sent him back to Egypt to deal with Pharaoh. He didn't want that. God didn't give him a choice, did he? And you know, all the people around Moses, they helped carry that burden too. They suffered right there along with him. He had to deal with Pharaoh. He had to walk right in there to Pharaoh. He had to muster up the courage to say, "Thus saith God, let my people go." He had to have faith, because Pharaoh could have just killed him right there. Just the insubordination alone was worthy of death. As soon as he marched right in there to Pharaoh's presence, he could have been, you know, executed. He had to put his faith in God. God gave him a message. And he had to have faith that God would allow him to give that message safely. And he did. He marched right in there. He said, "God said, let my people go." Then he went and told the people what he had done. And they got mad at him. "Who made you ruler over us? You know, what are you going to do? Kill me too?" You know, when they despised him. They despised Pharaoh or Moses for taking that role that he took. He marched right in there and he told the people, he said, "Look, you need to start barring everything. You need to bar pots and pans and gold and silver. Bar everything, because we're leaving. We're out of here." Yeah, that's right. Brother Daniel said, "The lease is up." He said, "Bar everything. We're getting out of here." And Pharaoh wouldn't have it. Finally, Pharaoh, he had had enough of God. He had had enough of the pestilence. He had had enough of Moses. He had had enough of the children of Israel. He just wanted them out of his hair. You know, Pharaoh did God's will. Do you know the truth is the truth, even if it comes out of the devil's mouth? Pharaoh did God's will. Pharaoh, he wasn't rewarded for it. You can either work for God or you can work with Him. Pharaoh worked for Him. Moses worked with Him. You're going to do what God wants you to do. You'll fulfill God's plan in this earth. Whether or not you get a reward for it is up to you. The Bible says in Psalms 1 that the ungodly, how does it say that? Are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind cometh and driveth away. And they're forgotten. And they will not stand, and that's the part I was looking for, and the ungodly will not stand in judgment. They're forgotten. They're forgotten. The ungodly are forgotten. Think about this a minute. How many generations can you go back in names? Can you remember your grandma's name? Can you remember your great-grandma's name? Can you remember your great-great-grandma's name? If you're relying on us to remember, if you're relying on your children to remember, if you're relying on science to remember, if you're relying on man's ways to remember you 100 years from now, I got news for you. It ain't going to happen. You can't even remember your great-grandma's name. Some of you might could. But that's only because somebody wrote it down. And you read it. If you want somebody to remember your name, you need a man. If you want your name to be remembered, if you want to stand in judgment, if you want to be there on that great getting up morning, you need to talk to the man upstairs. You need to make sure he knows your name. Praise God. Praise God. The ungodly are not so. You're either working for God or you're working with Him. The ungodly work for Him. All this turmoil out in the world that we're experiencing right now, all the murder and mayhem that is going on in this world today, being acts of brutality that's going on with ungodly people, they're working for God. I hate to say it. God has a plan, and it will be fulfilled. I want to work with Him. I want to be in the land of Goshen. And then when Moses says, let's go, I want to be packed and ready. That's right. I want to be packed and ready. So they gathered up, didn't they? And they hit the road, and Pharaoh gave them a little grace period. Get on out of here. I'm sick and tired of all you Israelites. I'm tired of all this turmoil that comes from you guys. And they hit the road. And the Bible says here in the 14th chapter that they were in the 5th verse it said, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? Why have we let Israel go from serving us? You know, that's exactly how the world views Christian people. Christian people are usually the most, Christian people should be humble. They should be good workers. Christian people should be dedicated and loyal. They should be faithful on their jobs. And when the world gets a hold of a Christian person, a business, or when a predator like, you know, a drug dealer or some sort of, things that I don't even care to mention, get a hold of somebody that has those morals, those Christian characteristics, They just grab a hold of them. They just use them. They use every ounce of strength that they can get out of them. You know, it's just like Hollywood. Hollywood preys upon the enthusiasm of young people. And you see it. You've seen actors that have come out of Hollywood, and by the time they get done with them, they've had millions and lost millions. And then most of the time, their life is wasted. They've got all kinds of addictions, and they've got scars and things, closets, skeletons in their closet that they don't want anybody to know about. They're used up and spit out. Well, that's the way Pharaoh was. They said, why have we let these people go from serving us? He said, made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued them. So they pursued them. It said in the 10th verse, and Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. Their faith faltered right there. They thought Moses had brought them out to die. They thought Moses had brought them out to die. They said, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast brought us to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Moses' load got really heavy at that point. Moses is sitting there. He thought, you know, he's got all these people he's responsible for. And now they're all turned on. They're all mad at him. You brought us out here to die, Moses. Why did you do that to us? Said, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You know, today, folks, there's a lot of people today that they don't, when it comes Sunday morning, they walk outside, they won't leave a church house. They won't leave their house to go to a church house. Because in their minds, it's just better for them to stay home. It's just better for them to live out their life in Egypt than it is for them to come to the house of God and serve the Lord. So when it comes time for Sunday morning service, they just roll over and turn the alarm off. They have no desire. They're happy. They're content to die right there in Egypt. They're content to sit there and serve the Egyptians. They're content to be enslaved by the addictions of the world. And you can go down a list if you want to. They're content to be led about by the nose, if you will, rooting and hollering and carrying on for the things that they enjoy. They have no desire to come out to the house of God. They're happy to die right there in Egypt. And let me tell you, they're going to. If God doesn't shake their house, if God doesn't turn their world upside down like he did Brother Daniel's, if God doesn't shake them loose from that bond of sin and darkness that they're in, they're going to die right there in Egypt. The Bible says, how can a man hear except there be a preacher, and how can he preach except to be sent? You're saved, the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching. It seems foolish. It seems foolish for a man to get up behind a pulpit and go on and on and on and talk and talk and talk. It can seem foolish at times. If you're not looking at it from a perspective of gaining knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, if you're not looking at it from a perspective of being changed from the old man into the new, then this is foolishness to you. Jesus told his disciples the name of Jesus to the Jewish people was foolishness to them. But Paul said to the Gentiles, he said, but to us it's the power of God unto salvation. Oh God, just the mere mention of his name causes my heart to leap. I could tell you stories about where I'd been and how the Lord brought me out of that. I'm so thankful today that the Lord Jesus reached down his loving hand. Thank God, and change my life from the old into the new. delivered me from sin and sickness, thank God, and filled me with this precious Holy Ghost. Just the mere mention of his name, hallelujah, causes my heart to leap. Oh, my Lord, and it's even better when we're in the house of God and we hear songs like, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Just the mention of his name thrills me inside. Woo! Hallelujah, and you hear somebody singing it. Somebody, you know, that's walked a lonely path or a hard path, and you hear them begin to sing a song like that. You see a tear well up in their eye, and you know that when they begin to sing a song like that, you know that they're telling the truth. You know it's from the depths of their heart. Oh, God. You hear them, and you see that expression of love on their face that they have for the Lord. You see them raise their hands, and they say, just some mention of his name thrills me inside. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! So glad today that I didn't stay home. I didn't stay in Egypt. Hallelujah. Moses told the children of Israel, he said, look. He said, fear not. Fear not. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see again no more forever. Whew. Now that's a mouthful right there, because they're bearing down on them, chariots and horsemen, soldiers, armed soldiers. And Moses is telling them, he said, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, for the Egyptians that you see today, you will not see anymore. My Lord, do you believe that today? Do you have faith today that God will deliver you? Do you have faith today that God will deliver you from the things that are holding you back? Are you able today to stand, to watch, and the opposite of fear is have courage? Are you able to be, are you brave enough today to stand and watch? I'm not talking about standing and not moving, because obviously they did. They did move. They got up and went. I'm talking about standing on your conviction, standing on your calling, standing on the knowledge that the Lord loves you, he has a plan for you, and he's going to do everything that he wants to fulfill his plan in you. Are you willing, are you courageous enough to stand today and say, I will serve the Lord come what may? Egyptians and all, chariots, horses, whatever. He told them, he said, stand, fear not, have courage. And watch, 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 see the salvation of the Lord. Watch the Lord. You know, there's been times in my life where I didn't find salvation for me. But I'll tell you what, it was sure precious today for that little girl to be up here praying and little tears running down her cheeks. There's something working down in her heart. There's something that's touching her mind. There's salvation that's being worked out in her life. I can see salvation. I can see salvation in my brothers and sisters. I can see it. I can see salvation in this assembly, this congregation here today. I can see salvation in the body of Christ. I can see salvation in God's family, God's people. I see that. I want to have the courage to stand on my convictions. I want to have the courage to wait and trust the Lord, to have faith in him. He said in the next verse, he said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. My Lord. I would say that's a mouthful. And it is. You know why, somebody said, you know why people let their tongue slip? Because it's in a slippery place. You know why it's hard to hold your peace? It is. It's hard to hold our peace. It's hard to stand. It's hard to have faith that God is going to work it out for us. But He is. He loves us. He'll prove it. Of course, you can read on about what happened here, the children of Israel. The Bible says, you know, that they crossed. The Bible says that the wind came up. I think it was an east wind came up and blew the water back and dried out the land. My Lord. That's amazing, isn't it? Said it dried out the land, and they walked over on dry ground. What seemed impassable. Did you get that? What seemed impassable. Impossible. What seemed impassable became passable. Have you ever been through a spot where you just didn't think you could get through it? You ever been in a spot where you just didn't think that, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to, I can't go forward. I can't go backwards. You ever been in a tight spot where you just were so, you're just at your wit's end? Children of Israel couldn't go forward. There was water. They couldn't go backwards. There was an army. It was an impossible circumstance for them. Moses told them, he said, stand still and see and fear not. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord loves us. He loves us today. He is working out our salvation. There's an old song. It's a choir song I heard a long time ago. He is working for our good. These trials and tests may seem so hard, something that maybe they can't be understood. But know this today. He is working for your good. He brought you here today for a reason. He brought all of us here today for a reason. To grow, to learn knowledge, understanding, wisdom. God has a desire in your life for you to succeed in Him. Now that may encompass wealth, it may not. That may encompass travel, it may not. That may encompass possessions, it may not. But He's working, whatever His will is in our life, is for our good. Whatever He has in store for us is good. If He wants us out of Egypt, like He did the children of Israel, He made a way for their good. What seemed impassable or impossible to them was just exactly the right situation. The Bible says that they crossed over on dry ground, the Egyptians followed them, and it was over. Gone, just like that. They were free of that heavy burden. Just like that. That worry. I mean, think about that a minute. What a miracle. What a deliverance. They're sitting there on the other side, and Pharaoh's army is wiped out in front of them. They never lifted a sword. They never threw a punch. They didn't have to defend themselves in that way. God said, hold your peace, and I will fight your battle. Praise God. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to be in the house of God today. It's a privilege to be in the house of God, and we're happy for our visitors. We want them to feel at home and enjoy the service as we go through today and tonight. Praise God. I'm just... what was that song, Sister Stewart, that I mentioned earlier? That's how... Yeah, I'd like to sing that song. Can you imagine a ship without an anchor or a vessel without a sail, wandering aimless out on life's ocean? That's how I'd be without Jesus. That's how I'd be, Lord. That's how I'd be. Life wouldn't have any meaning for me. Life, a mighty vessel that's been wrecked at sea. That's how I'd be without Jesus. Can you imagine a life with no meaning? Can you imagine a life with no meaning? That's how I'd be without Jesus. That's how I'd be, Lord. That's how I'd be. Life wouldn't have any meaning for me. Like a mighty vessel that's been wrecked at sea. That's how I'd be without Jesus. That's how I'd be, Lord. That's how I'd be. Life wouldn't have any meaning for me. Oh, like a mighty vessel that's been wrecked at sea. That's how I'd be without Jesus. Can you imagine a ship without an anchor or a vessel without a sail, wandering aimless out on life's ocean? That's how I'd be without Jesus. That's how I'd be, Lord. That's how I'd be. Life wouldn't have any meaning for me. Like a mighty vessel that's been wrecked at sea. That's how I'd be without Jesus. Can you imagine a night with no daybreak or a land that's barren and dry. Can you imagine a life with no meaning? That's how I'd be without Jesus. That's how I'd be, Lord. That's how I'd be. Life wouldn't have any meaning for me. Oh, life, a mighty vessel that's been wrecked at sea. That's how I'd be without Jesus. That's how I'd be, Lord. That's how I'd be. Life wouldn't have any meaning for me. Oh, like a mighty vessel that's been wrecked at sea. That's how I'd be without Jesus. That's how I'd be, Lord. That's how I'd be. Life wouldn't have any meaning for me. That's been wrecked at sea. That's how I'd be without Jesus. Can you imagine a night with no daybreak or a land that's barren and dry? Can you imagine a life with no meaning? That's how I'd be without Jesus. Oh, that's how I'd be, Lord. That's how I'd be. Life wouldn't for me, oh, like a mighty vessel that's been wrecked at sea. That's how I'd be without Jesus. That's how I'd be, Lord. That's how I'd be.
Appreciate the Lord here today. I thought listening to Brother Daniel's Sunday school, I love the way the Lord builds a service. He does a little bit here. You know, it's just like a good cook at home. She grabs a little bit over here and a little bit over there and throws it all together, and it is delicious. So, but I thought, as Brother Daniels was talking, you know, we were born the same year. That's just, I'm a little older than you. September 13th, 1974, received the Holy Ghost. I thought as he was talking about that birth, that change in his life, you could feel it. He wasn't just telling a story. You could feel the Spirit in what he was saying. I thought, you know, it is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. It really is. Because it started something. It started something, and we're not done. We're not finished. And then I thought as Brother Durham was talking downstairs and mentioned a story about Brother Clyde Patton, how that someone asked him how he is so successful, you know, have all of these little churches and a big church down in Houston at the time. And so, well, it wasn't any big thing that I did, but it's all the little bitty things. See, and that's how I learned that in farming from my father. When he'd send me out to plant seed, he'd say, you got to plant the whole bag. Well, sometimes I'd just take some and throw it around. You know, if it's, because it seemed like it'd take forever to plant the whole bag. So I got rid of some of the bag, you know, but it shows up. Give it a few days, a little bit of water, and it starts to spring up, and what you've done shows up. So you have to be careful. You can't do this too fast, but you have to take care of the little bitty details. These are the things, and that reminded me of what Peter said in 2 Peter, that we have exceedingly great and precious promises, that we might be partakers of this divine nature, that we can have a chance to have this divine nature working in us, but you have to build it. You have to let it grow in certain ways, and you got to take care of it. Because there it says, add to your faith virtue. And even to begin with, you don't even have faith. Because I thought as Brother Daniels was talking, I wasn't exactly like him, but in a lot of ways, in the 70s, that was... Oh, you'd had to have lived it. You'd had to have been there. You know, we come out of a generation before that we felt free. You know, we felt like we could do anything. That we didn't want the establishment. We wanted the truth is what we said. We wanted it to be real, and we were deceived ourselves. But I thought here when I was in the service, I had on my. They asked me, "What religion are you?" You know, I said, "Well, I don't know. I've never been. I've just, you know, been around a little bit here and there." I said, "No preference." You know, they said, "Oh, well, you mean no preference?" I said, "That's right. I don't care. I don't care if I have it. I don't, and I'm not looking for it." You know, but yeah, I ain't got time. All these things were going on out here in the world, and I wanted to try it, but God had another plan for me. And I want to believe in God. You know, I read a few things. I've heard a few things, but I didn't know what any of it meant. really didn't. Nobody'd ever sat down and told, and it's because they couldn't. They didn't know what they were talking about. The places I've been, but God started to pull on my heart. God made me feel like you felt. Didn't know what to do. When I come into church, and Brother Winters, he was saying, God's dealing with somebody. And I was holding on to the pew and saying, who is it? You know, now here I am. I'm in there with long hair, mustache, dressed different than anybody else, and wondering who it was. But I felt something. I wanted to go down there. I wanted to go down. But I said, somebody else got to go first. This is the first time I've ever been there. I didn't know nobody. And it just kept working on me until finally I said, I don't care if anybody goes, I'm going. And I went down, and it changed my life. It truly changed my life. But that's when God, you know, it says that we're saved by faith, but that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. God gave me that gift. God gave me faith. That night when I walked out of there, no one could tell me there wasn't a God. That I didn't know God. Because I tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. Because I just experienced something I'd never experienced in my whole life. And it was, it changed me. It's kept me here all this time. Just that one experience has kept me here. Because nobody could tell me any different. And so, with that faith, I had to add to my faith virtue. I had to, and believe me, the 70s was not a very virtuous place. It really wasn't. Or nor today. I mean, it doesn't matter. But I had to start seeing, reading, and deciding, oh, that's wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. You know? It started to give me direction that I could build my life on. Add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. That's where I would come home, and I'd eat dinner, and then I'd get down and read my Bible till 12 or 1 o'clock at night. Because that fed my soul. That gave me what I needed. And then you add to your faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance. That's the hardest part, you know. Put into practice. I like to say it like this. Put into practice what you just learned. That's temperance. That will give you temperance. And add to temperance, patience. I want it now. I can't wait. I'd read through this, and I'd get every book I could find and go to every meeting I could go to, and I wanted it. And I want it right now. But I couldn't get it like that. You got to wait until God touches you. He'll give you a revelation about this. I could tell you what somebody else believed. You know, I could say it like that, but that didn't mean that it was in my heart. Didn't mean that it was a part of me yet. But finally, God started to touch my heart. And I no longer, as I read this, and I thought, you know, sometimes you'd say, especially you read in Revelations. Now, what did they say? What did that mean? You know, and I'd go back through my notes and try, okay, that's what it meant. But then, you know, it changed. Said, well, okay, well, maybe that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And, well, here now, this is the way it is. Brother Durham was saying, you write your notes in pencil, not ink, you know, because things change. but add to your... Maybe I'll just read it, because when I stop in the middle, I forget. And that has to do, I'm going to blame it on my age. I'm starting to lose some of my memory. I used to be able to remember where everything was. I could go down in my basement and all of my tools was laying around, and I knew exactly where they were. But now I think, well, they're in the basement somewhere, you know. I don't remember exactly where. I remember what it looks like, but I can't tell you exactly where it's at. But here, add to temperance, patience, and patience, godliness. That's when you're getting up, you're getting close. When you get to godliness, you know, because that's what we've been studying. Brother Durham talked about the 5th, 6th chapter of Matthew. We've been learning about those principles. You know, we want to get all of those things in our lives so that we become more like Him. I want to know what Jesus was like, so I could be like Him. And add to godliness, brotherly kindness. When we get that, when we finally get that I can love you like myself, then we're just a step away from charity. That's all it takes, and that's that divine nature, that nature that He's trying to change in us from this corrupt nature that we have to His divine nature, that we will be like Him. And that's what I want. So these things were what were going over in my mind, and I appreciate being stirred up again about all of these things, because this is the most important thing you'll ever do. I thought, you have a new child here. It's just the beginning. That was the thing that drove me, that I wanted my children to have a better opportunity than I had. I was 23 years old. Whenever I started to live, I'll tell you that way. I was 23 years old when I come in. And I was, for a while, I was upset because I didn't have a chance. I thought, I'll never make it because I've lost too much, you know. I wish I could have grown up in this. And that made me want my children to grow, to have a better opportunity. That doesn't mean that they'll make it, but they'll have a better, do the little things. Do all the little things that you can, and they will grow. They'll grow good. And so I appreciate being here today. And, you know, we came down this way because I've got a new grandchild that just got born in Texarkana. But I can't drive by here and not spend some time. We spent a week down there and had a good time, but our hearts are drawn up this direction. I don't know why. Maybe that's one of those little white lies you're talking about. But I'm glad to be here. I always enjoy coming. I love this place. I've got a lot of good memories. So I appreciate the Lord giving us an opportunity to come today.
Praise God. Well, thank the Lord for this day, and looking forward to a good service tonight. And I want to continue to pray for those that aren't here. want to mention that the Bryans, I think they may be out of town. So let's remember them also. And having potluck today downstairs. I believe it should be ready about now. Band practice at 4 o'clock. Very good. So let's look forward to a good service tonight. Come out expecting the Lord to meet us. He's working something up for us, you know. He's got something in store for us tonight. So let's come expecting. Our heart's ready and ready to receive. Our minds girded up to receive and obey the will of the Lord. Praise God. Let's all stand and be dismissed here. Praise God. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for your grace and love. Thank you for this blessing that you provided, oh God, for this house that you've given us to worship in. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with those that are traveling today, those that are sick and afflicted. Watch over them and keep them in your care. Jesus, give us a good service tonight, Lord, as we gather together in your name. I love you, Lord. I praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. See you tonight.